Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. What's up,
hey,
Bob?
Fellas, how you doing?
We're doing pretty well. The NHL is back in action, back rolling. Last night, I don't know. I mean, it was a decent game in Toronto. I wouldn't say it was a spectacular game. Probably what we expect out of both teams throughout the year. A lot of talent in Toronto, not so much in Ottawa.
Yeah, and I mean, Ottawa is Ottawa this year, so you can discount, I guess, what happened with the Leafs. But the flip side of that is, when Ottawa scores 25 seconds in, it's a good sign the Leafs didn't collapse there. When the power play looked like it was completely misfiring in the first period, they didn't panic and, you know, fall apart, and they stuck with it. And that second period, I mean, they just dummied the Senators in every way, shape, and form. And then Matthews scores a couple, and Mikhaev gets his first goal, so you're happy about that. You know, Tyson Barrie gets a couple of points and plays well. And at the end, everybody says, okay, great, Leaf win. It was against Ottawa, so it doesn't count. Well, it does count for 2 points, but you just take every game as it comes, and there'll be sterner tests ahead, but I guess a good enough start, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a cool ceremony beforehand. It was subdued. But Tavares, the captain, we all kind of saw that coming. But it was Matthews who really put on the clinic last night.
He's going to have a year.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, although that said, we've said that for 4 straight years after opening night.
Yep, absolutely.
We're always like, this is the night, this is the year. This
yeah, you're right.
Dominate.
And, you know, and a couple of times he's had shoulder injuries or whatever. The
right.
Play slows down. It, as we've talked about before, this is a hard league. The league, you know, it's like... like Vegas, always bet on the house, and the house being the NHL. The NHL has a way of eating teams up, eating players up, but he looks like he's got another gear maybe this year. We'll see.
I think he's the best player on the team. Like, I don't think that's some outlandish take.
I don't. That's an accurate statement.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
he's the guy, and that's why with the captaincy stuff, a lot of people were directing it towards him because of who he
Patrick is. Patrick Kane is the best player in the Chicago Blackhawks, too. We've talked about him. He does not wear a letter.
Doesn't need to.
Right.
He just does it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, he's established himself at that role now. I mean, I would say in 2010, you could argue Keith was better than him. You could argue Taves was right there, if not more important. But nowadays, it's Kane and everybody else on that team. Feels that way.
Giving Tavares the C just insulates Matthews and Marner and these kids, and even Riley. Riley's a veteran now, and he'd be a fine captain. If they had given Riley the C, I don't know that anybody here would have been saying, "Oh, that's a bad choice at all."
Nobody can comment if you're not in the locker room. You can't comment on anyone wearing the C.
True enough, and that. But Tavares is, I mean, he's so mature, and he's. Put it this way: he's not going to get ruffled or rankled or by anything. And that's kind of what you want, especially in a city like Toronto where every day it's like a...
Well, talk to Nazem Kadri about that. You see his quotes today?
No, what did he say?
He said...
he said, false Bobo.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobo.
He probably
Bobo.
Tried to send you a DM on Twitter.
That's right.
But
forgot about that one.
He was speaking with the media down in Colorado, and he said, you know, I ended up thinking about the Calgary trade for a couple of days, and then I turned it down... because I didn't think the Leafs were really shopping me.
Yeah.
So then he would remain here in Toronto. Clearly he was wrong about that. But then he continued to say, you know, he'll miss Toronto. He loved Toronto. But he always believed that the white noise was just normal and applied everywhere. And now he's quickly figured out that that's not the case.
Right.
Which shouldn't shock anybody. Toronto is a hockey town compared to Denver. Pretty drastically different.
Absolutely.
You know.
Now, mind you, you could point out that in the early part of his career, he was the guy making the noise sometimes.
Exactly.
Some of the drama that was befelling the Toronto Maple Leafs was somehow involving number 43, but he was by no means alone back then. And you know what? And he's a hell of a hockey player, and he's got a much more mature game. He's just got to stay out of the suspension thing in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that had to factor into the move as well, I would think.
We were trying to, I mean, in the 4 o'clock hour, I don't know if there was, behind closed doors, but a definitive thing where they were like, Kadri's got to go.
You know what? I think it was, I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, it's like, okay, so one suspension in the first round against Boston, and then it's like two suspensions. And if you bring him back and he does it again, that's not on him. That one's on you.
Yeah.
For bringing a guy back. But honestly, I think they could have got by that. But I think at the end of the day, they thought they were looking at Matthews, they were looking at Marner, they were looking at Nylander, they're looking at the money, and he wasn't making a lot of money relative to what he was giving you as like a really high end third line center on most teams would be, which he is now a second line center, and that. But I think they were looking and saying, maybe we could save a little there. And Kerfoot comes in at less than what Kadri's making, and the jury's still out on what he's going to provide over the course of the year if it's as good as what Nas would give you.
Alex DeBrincat signs a 3-year extension. He would have been a year out of RFA status. 3 years, about six four
yeah,
per year.
He's a nice player, too.
$9 million in his last years.
Right. But these other GMs have clearly learned, haven't they?
Well, they have, but the market's been reset, too. Like, last spring we said the RFA market is going to get reset. And then when Marner got his money, everybody said, oh, that's an outlier. That's crazy. And then when Rantanen signed for way less than Marner, everybody said, wow, you know, the market didn't get reset after all. And when Tkachuk signed and when Point signed, the market did get reset. There were never bridge deals like Points or
Tkachuk's
or 9.5 for Rantanen to come right out of entry level to 9.5 was unprecedented. Virtually, and so the market did get reset. So if you're DeBrincat and you're the Blackhawks, and you look at his numbers, and you look at Laine's numbers, and you look at Point's numbers, and you're like, okay, we've got
important numbers for DeBrincat is you look at Clayton Keller's numbers.
Yeah,
he must be thinking, this guy's making. I think he signed for seven.
Yeah, but an 8-year deal.
But he got the 8 years, so he gave up a lot of free agency. So DeBrincat's looking at his numbers and saying, you know, Laine's a goal scorer, I'm a goal scorer, Point's a goal scorer. These guys, one of them got 6.5, the other one got 6.75. And so, okay, I'll slot in at 6.4 and get 9 my last year, and I'm good to go. So the market got redefined this summer, and so now these guys are kind of taking it. Some of these guys are going to take advantage of that.
And I believe Taves and Kane are up that same summer, too. So
that's
$21 million, and then whatever DeBrincat's at. That's going to be a lot of cap space for the Blackhawks to deal with.
Crawford,
that's 4 years down the road.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Crawford.
That's assuming Taves and Kane aren't coming back.
That's right.
I mean,
you never know.
They're not 60.
No.
I know they're not young, but
they'll still be in their early 30s, mid-30s.
Yeah, mid-30s.
Adam Larson, defenseman for Edmonton, he's out up to 6 to 8 weeks. They kind of, I wouldn't say they stole one last night, but I thought Vancouver kind of took over the play in the second period and even into the third. And when Vancouver went up 2-1, Tyler Myers scored. I'm like, okay, they're going to get out of there with 2 points.
Pearson that scored.
Oh, it was right. Pearson ended up tipping
that. It went off his stick.
Captain material right there.
I had to correct it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But Larson,
you never played the game, so.
That's true. How do they recover from this?
They don't.
Edmonton.
How does Bouchard end up coming up? After
it's just one? It's just a cap move.
Yeah, it's a cap.
He's going right back down tomorrow. It's just, I believe. I think that's the case. First off, whatever you think of Larson, and he's a polarizing guy because he got traded 1-for-1 for Taylor Hall. And that first year, it looked really good because Hall was injured and just on a bad New Jersey team and missed the playoffs again. Edmonton makes the playoffs. Larson and Klefbom were great in the playoffs, and everybody said the Oilers were on their way. And then the next year, Larson took a step back. The Oilers took a huge step back, and they haven't been back since. But whatever you think of him, he's playing top pair minutes for them, and he and Darnell Nurse are their key pair. They get the hardest minutes against the best players on the other team, and now he's gone 6 to 8 weeks on a defense that's a little thin to begin with. So it's a huge loss, and you can't, you know, there's not a waiver pickup. There's not an obvious trade partner who's giving a top shutdown pair defenseman available at this time of the year. You know, I said that an insider trading. Thomas Hickey is an NHL defenseman. The Islanders put him on waivers the other day. He cleared. He's got 3 years left at like 2.5 or something along those lines. You know, that's way too many years, too much money for a third pair defenseman that would just hamstring the Oilers further from a financial point of view. So they're just going to take Chris Russell, much maligned Chris Russell, because you get into the whole analytics thing and that. But Russell will move up from the third pair and play with Nurse on the top pair. And then they'll come back with their second pair, Klefbom and Ethan Bear. who was sent down today, to your point, but I think it was,
it's a paper,
it was all
transaction.
Just paper transaction, roster manipulation for LTIR.
When I first saw it, I'm like, such an Edmonton thing to do. You put him down there to develop after one game, he's back up.
Yeah, but see, that Kenny Holland's not messing around there. Like, people in Edmonton thought, well, maybe Bouchard will be on the team. And I said, if Bouchard's on this team, he's going to have the camp. Like, he's got to be the best player in the camp, because Kenny Holland's MO in Detroit was, you let these guys develop in the minors. You don't hang them out to dry in the NHL. And Kenny's got the contract. And even though everybody in Edmonton is pulling their hair out because it's one playoff year in 13, he's not looking at it like that. He's looking at, you know what, it's my first year here. And if we don't, I want to make the playoffs and I want to compete for a playoff spot. But if I don't, I'm not going to make a whole bunch of panic moves just to try and push us into the playoffs.
Mark,
how does Lou Lamoriello handle a guy that's unproven, not very experienced in the NHL, that demands to be moved?
Well, I think he's fine with listen, Lou doesn't like any player dictating or
anything.
Josh Hosang.
We're talking about Josh Hosang, and he's, you know, he didn't demand a trade, but he basically said, "Can I get a fresh start?" I think one of the problems is that he, even in the American Hockey League, he wasn't guaranteed to get a top role or play all the time. He was healthy scratched, and you wonder if, you know, was there a conflict with the coach there or whatever, and who's that on? Is that on the coach or is it on Hosang? I don't know. I'm not going to presume. Hosang's a polarizing guy because he's one of those guys that marches to his own drummer, and when he was drafted, he had a lot of things to say about, I play a certain way and I'm never going to change, and if people don't like it, that's too bad. But I'll give the kid the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? Based on what has or hasn't happened with the Islanders, he probably does need a fresh start. Now, the Islanders aren't going to get much. I can't imagine they would get much in return. And if Lou really wants to hang him out, I guess he can. But from right now, it sounds like, you know, they're not even sending him to Bridgeport. They're just saying, hey, sit tight and we'll see what we can do. But we'll see. You're at Lou's mercy, and wouldn't be the first guy that doesn't enjoy being at Lou's mercy.
No kidding.
But we'll see. We'll see who's interested. Somebody will take a flyer on him, and then it's sort of last chance saloon for him because he's not a young, not young young anymore. And
he's got to be 25 years old, doesn't he?
No, he's same age. Well, he's a year older than McDavid. So
23.
Yeah, but at some point, if you're going to be a skilled guy, you got to play in the NHL.
But you have to figure it out, too. And that's it's not lies when you hear stories out of New York that this guy's late at training camp. Like, you've got one job, when you show up at training camp, like, you know, be
on time. Now, in fairness, that was
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was year one.
So and that's why we got to be careful that you just don't take something that happened 2 or 3 years ago. Obviously, there's an issue. Like, let's not kid anybody here. I think he was being healthy scratched in the American Hockey League. So, you know, but you're right. So it's figure it out.
Right.
And he will get, I'm sure he'll get that opportunity somewhere. Won't be, a lot of people think, oh, he'd be really good in Edmonton. Edmonton is not bringing Josh Hosang in. I don't believe.
No.
He played minor hockey with McDavid. In fact, they went to the same high school. They were on the same minor hockey team for more than 1 year, or multiple years. And if I remember correctly, and I think I wrote about this in Hockey Confidential, when they were both at the peak school, and that at times they would end up, you know, one day the Hosangs would drive and then McDavid's would drive and whatever. So there was that. And I think so. There's probably some good history there, but from what I understand too, there's probably some not so great history in terms of chemistry and stuff. So anyways, we'll see where Hosang surfaces and what it's for and whether he gets hung out to dry a little here, but you know what? Good luck to the kid and, get an opportunity, and you're going to have to make the most of it.
Go out there and play.
Yeah.
If you play well, someone's going to pay you to play in the NHL.
He's a talent. He's a skilled kid, but...
Right.
I mean, he didn't... look it up, Noodles. You're our stats guy.
Yeah.
How many goals he scored in the American League last year? Eight? Eight in 50-some-odd games?
Yeah, like it. I didn't check his...
come on, Noodles.
Come on, Noodles.
Let's go here.
Josh Hosang, DB.
Captain
I'll
material.
Find it, yeah.
You want to be my latex salesman.
Believe me, I'm... AHL, 8 goals in 56 games. 35.
So who's going to trade for that guy?
43 points in 56 games, though. That's in the A.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's just you're not going to pay a lot.
8 goals, though.
You just
it's acquiring him.
It's a future consideration.
It's acquiring him for a pick, but I just like at some point to your like what you're saying, like a guy's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing it on a different level in Montreal with Jonathan Drouin. At some point, the guy's got to like he had 53 points last year.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy, but talent only gets you so far. At some point, you got to fit in with a team structure. You got to fit in with systematic play. And coaches, the margin for error is so thin now. You think Barry Trotz wants this guy like floating out there on his own plan?
No way.
When he's got Barzell buying in. Barzell left points on the table last year to play a system.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If Hosang doesn't want to do that, then you're out.
See you later. All right, Bob.
Awesome, boys.
You, man.
Hang on a sec. Johnny Tavares, we asked him, the captain of the Maple Leafs, who is the captain of Overdrive? Who do you think he said?
O-Doug.
No.
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably
there. You go.
The guy that keeps everything on.
We gotta go, buddy.
That's the answer.
We gotta.
Right. He said me. He said Hayes. That's why he's a captain material.
But I think he was joking because he goes, I like to think I'm an even keel guy. So I guess like Hayes would be. He's okay. Not even keel. He's an
idiot.
What was a little toxic, a little too controversial for JT.
Right.
I was disappointed he didn't say me, just from the even keel comment.
You wanted that one badly.
I wanted it bad. I was
maybe disappointed. You didn't take him in your fantasy draft, did you?
I did not.
You took Marner.
There's your answer.
My man, Mitch Marner.
That's your guy, Mitch Marner, now?
Right. We're buddies again.
Oh, is that a fact?
No, that's not a fact.
That is far from being a fact.
What did Line A say?
That is a wrong conclusion.
That's a wrong conclusion. Yeah,
wrong conclusions on that one. The fact that you and Marner are back, baby.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, good seeing you.
Awesome, boys. Thanks a lot.